So let's also play our own part. Today we'll be looking at what I titled, The Influence of Another. The Influence of Another. It will be very short, but I pray that the Lord will speak through me to pass a message that will help us in this period where perfection is expected of us. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, the Lord Jesus told us to watch. Luke 21, verse 36, it says, watch. 36, not 26, 36, verse 36. Okay. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 21, verse 36 says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So that is what we do when we share the word of God. Don't just be a prayerful Christian, also be a watchful Christian. And that is what we're about to do now. The influence of another. That's the sermon topic. Mankind generally are creatures subject to influence. We are creatures that are subject to influence. We are usually influenced by something or by someone. And we also influence others. Are we together? What is going on now in God's agenda is perfection. And perfection will come forth by the word of God that we hear. We are creatures of influence. If I should ask some of us today, the styling of clothes that you put on to come to church this morning, you got that influence from somebody. Maybe you saw somebody on the TV or in an advert and you loved the way he appeared. Or you saw, maybe you saw a pastor that dressed on suits and you loved him. Like, wow, I want to be like that. He has influenced you. Or maybe you saw a musician on TV and all our cleavages are showing and our clothes are tight. You're like, wow, you like that. And then you put on that thing. That is who we are. We are always influenced by something or by someone. If you are not influenced by someone, you'll be influenced by an ideology. Are we together? And the influences we receive can either be positive or negative. Now, let me just speak a little grammar. The definition of influence. Influence is the capacity to have an effect. I think we'll show it on the screen now. The capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. IT, can we have that definition so that people can follow carefully? Influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, on the development, on the behavior of something or someone. For instance, as a youth or as a child, let me use an example. I had a godly training while I was with my mother, till about the age of 10. I remember that if I come back from primary school those days, she will ask me to cram Psalm 23, Psalm 24. If I don't get it, she will slap me. But along the line, I left her. I was no longer under her control. Then, a boy that was always in church, one time, I began to mingle with some kind of friends. Then I got to know about MTV and MTV Base. I'm giving an example. I got to know about Channel O. In those days, 50 Cent was reigning. Let me remember their names. After during consecration hour, all of us were exposing ourselves. So there's nothing new under the sun anymore. You know, started watching. Yes, I remember I loved 50 Cent and R. Kelly very well. Oh my. I said I loved. No crucify me. And started watching most especially foreign music videos. That time, Nigerian music industry was just coming up. They were not the days of you don't eat my car. No. They were just coming up. But these foreign music videos were very corrupt. Are we together? Then as a teenager, I began to feed on that. Every godly training I had disappeared. And then what I was being influenced by through the media started manifesting in my life. So you see what we talk about, influence, the capacity. So if you ask me, at one time I was influenced by godly parenting, then another time I was influenced by the media. Are we talking? Don't worry, we are not looking at any mystery today. We are looking at ourselves. Praise the Lord. So influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, on the behavior, on the development of someone. The influences you receive will make who you are. The influences you receive, the influences upon you, would create your personality. Are we together? The influences you receive will work upon you. For instance, there's a popular church in Nigeria. One identity with all the pastors is that they palm their hair. Is that right? No, I'm not trying to be insultive. I'm using an example. When you say you're a pastor of this church, you can clearly see. Or if somebody is telling you, I'm a pastor, and then you see the person's head is coiled, and you can tell which church that person is coming from. Is that true? Because he is influenced by a senior pastor. Praise the living God. So influences can either be good or bad. But I want you to remove this from your mindset. Some of us say we can't be influenced by. No. Everybody is influenced by someone or something. Everybody. The only thing is, you can choose what influences you. You can watch what influences you. But all of us are one way or the other, in every path of life, influenced by someone or some ideology. Somebody shout hallelujah. Look at an example of godly influence in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 from verse 1 to 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 from verse 1 to 5. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Elot and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Verse 4 is my emphasis. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. According to what? According to all that his father Amaziah did. Now see verse 5. And he sought God in the days of who? Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he saw God, God made him to prosper. Uzziah was influenced by Zechariah and by godly parenting. And the Bible said he sought God and God made him to prosper. Another example is King Joash, a young boy that was made king at the age of 7. The same 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. His own story is a very interesting one. He was made king. Joash was 7 years when he began to reign, and he reigned 14 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Zibiah of Beersheba. Now see verse 2. And Joash did all that was right in the sight of the Lord. When? All the days of Jehoiada the priest. Let me explain it. All the days that that priest, Jehoiada, was alive, Joash was serving God. But you discover something. I'm not going there today. If you read further, the Bible said when Jehoiada the priest died, some people came and they started talking to him. And he listened to them. And Joash forsook the God of Israel and began to misbehave. Are we together? So all of us are influenced by someone or something. Good influences will make you prosper. And I want to limit it to our spiritual life. Good spiritual influence will make you prosper spiritually. But bad spiritual influences will cost you your spiritual life. Good spiritual influence will make you to prosper spiritually. But bad spiritual influence will cost you your spiritual life. Praise the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. The days that we are living in is what the Bible describes as the perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Somebody pay close attention to the word of God. Don't shut down. He says, this know also that in the last days, what will happen? Perilous times will come. What is the meaning of perilous? Perilous means dangerous. The Bible foretells that in the last days, in the end times, conditions of mankind will be dangerous. The spiritual condition of the end time will be dangerous. Why? Because time is rounding up. Satan is trying to gather as many as he can to take to hell. God also is trying to gather his own to take to heaven. Now, in this end time, more than any other time in history, now, we must watch against negative influences. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 12, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, what happens? The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Brothers and sisters, this is the time, the most, where this scripture should be applied. In these end times, if you want to go to heaven, you must have violent faith. Because the Bible said the days are dangerous. Because when the church started, everybody in the church knows that they are going to heaven. Everybody. The Bible said nobody could join the Christians. It was God that added to the church daily such as should be saved. That means everybody was a Christian, right? But as time went on, the Bible said the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Then another time, he said that the birds of the air came and lodged in the branches of the church. So the church now is a mixed multitude. In this generation, people are going to church and they are running to hell. Perilous, dangerous. In this generation, God is blessing people physically, materially, and God is judging them spiritually. The same person. So we must exercise violent faith. And in exercising a violent faith, we are going to apply it in the area of watching against wrong influences. Jesus is on an assignment to present to himself a church without spots, without wrinkle. Apostle Paul made a prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5. I think that should be verse 22 or 23 or so. He said, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. If this is God's program to present to himself a church that is without spot or wrinkle, Satan's agenda, therefore, is to corrupt us so that we will not attain to this divine program of God. Brethren, in these dangerous times, you must be careful what influences you. From the age of 13, when I got exposed to those worldly songs, till I gave my life to Christ, I was a party star. Party star. First things first, academics failed. Life ambitions gone. The influence I got from those worldly music became my life until the Lord Jesus found me. In these dangerous times, be careful what is influencing you. Watch against negative spiritual influences. Are we together? The influences we must watch again include, number one, the influence of blind leaders. IT, help me write it. The influence of blind leaders. The days are dangerous. Be careful who is leading you spiritually. In this dangerous time, there is no politics or what? Sentimentality in choosing a spiritual leader. See something in Matthew 15 verse 14. Matthew chapter 15 verse 14. He says, let them alone. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. He says, they be what? Blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what will happen? Both shall what? Hey, brethren, you must watch against the influence of a blind leader. See what the Lord Jesus is saying. Brother Chino, so come. Let's act a little drama. Now, I want you to, you will hold me like this and follow me. Let's pretend to be blind people. You are putting your trust in me. Close your eyes. Make sure, please help me watch church. Close your eyes. So now you are trusting me to lead you. Where he leads me, I will follow. I want to lead you to the altar. Where he leads me, I'm leading you to the altar. I will follow. It's the altar we are going. Where he leads me, I will follow. Blind is leading the blind. I'll go with him, all the way. What has happened? We are falling into the pit. Thank you. If the blind lead the blind, they will fall into the pit. Alas, in these dangerous times, more than 90% of Christian leaders are blind. Brethren, we are talking of Christianity. More than 90% of leaders in the church are blind. And people are being influenced. Followers are being influenced by them. Do you know that the average Christian is largely influenced by his pastor? It's the truth. And the Bible says, yes, we should be examples unto the sheep. It is not wrong. It is not wrong that you want to follow a man to take you to heaven. No. Because you feel he knows the way. It is not wrong. But the problem is that man blind? Let's see an example of a blind leader in the Bible. Numbers chapter 13. We'll be fast. Brethren, who is influencing you? From verse 1. We must watch against the influence of blind leaders. See something. Many of us don't know this story. Pay close attention. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man. The men that you will send, every one of them shall be what? A ruler among them. So send 12 leaders. You people have come out of Egypt. I have promised you promised land, Canaan land. Now send 12 leaders. Let them go and check this promised land for the people. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were what? They were heads. So they were not just ordinary people. They were heads, leaders, leaders of the people of God. Verse 4. And these were their names. Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua the son of Zacchar. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat the son of Ori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igar the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea or Joshua the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel the son of Sodi. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel the son of Gemali. Of the tribe of who? Asher, Setu the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi the son of Jophi. Of the tribe of Gad, Gael the son of Maki. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Joshua the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad, and how the cities are, whether they are living in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is forest or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Please follow this story closely. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron. Next verse, verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it up. They bear it two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land. After how many days? If you see your neighbor sleeping, try and help your neighbor. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and they showed them of the fruit of the land. Next verse. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us. Surely, it is true. That land is flowing with milk and honey. In fact, see the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Did they fight with anybody? How did they know the people were strong? Are you following? Did they encounter anybody? They have brought back a good report, but they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of the giants there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Next verse. As they were talking, don't forget there were 12. One of them, Caleb, stilled the people before Moses. Said, yes, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are what? Stronger than we. Now see verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Why didn't it eat them? And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight. Hey, may you not follow a blind leader in the name of Jesus. No, you are not getting the weight of that statement. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Chapter 14. I want us to see the effect. Chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation did what? Lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Next verse. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. They all said, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Verse 3. And wherefore had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they tore their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass to search through is an exceeding good land. It is good. If God delights in us, he will bring us to this land and give us. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. He told us to go and get this land. Don't fear the people of this land. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation did what? Abel, carry stone. Let's stone this man. If you get home, you can continue the reading. God chose 12 leaders and sent them. Out of the 12 that God sent, 10 were blind. Only 2 could see. Praise God. And when they came, the gullible children of Israel allowed themselves to be influenced by blind leaders. Do you know what it cost them? It cost them 40 years in the wilderness. And all those men that were talking, all those that allowed themselves to be influenced by those 10 people, none of them made it to the promised land. The Bible said the stories in the Bible, they are for our learning. Brethren, in this generation, if you allow yourself to be influenced by a blind leader, you will fall into the pits. Praise God. He says, if the blind and the blind, if the blind lead the blind, what will happen? Both will fall into the pit. If you want a blind leader to lead you, you let your eyes be opened. So that when you are nearing the pit, you say, hey, I'm no more doing, be going. This is the condition of Christianity in this generation. The only way you can survive or watch against the influence of a blind leader is that you yourself ask the Lord to open your eyes. Now, more than ever before, it is time for Christians to pray for revelation. It is time for Christians to pray to know the truth and the right way to heaven. If part of your prayer is not for God to reveal his truth to you, reveal his word to you, you are blind. I pity you. You will be sincere and you will sincerely end up in the pit because you can't see and a blind leader is leading you. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I also follow Christ. So Christ is firstly an example. I'm following you, Paul, but the image is Christ. I can see Christ. If I'm blind and I cannot see Christ, then my following you will not profit me. Because if you take me to the pit, I will go with you. Brothers and sisters, who is leading you spiritually? Is your pastor a blind leader? Is your prayer group leader a blind leader? Is your fellowship leader a blind leader? If you will not be influenced by a blind leader, then don't submit yourself to a blind leader. Are we together? Somebody shout hallelujah. In this generation, people reverence their pastor more than they reverence God. A woman that doesn't even use sir for her husband, maybe she calls her husband baby. Let me not say baby. If you say baby, it's romantic, baby. If she sees her pastor, daddy, good morning, sir. Daddy, she will kneel down, she will show reverence. Ask her when was the last time she used sir for her husband. Now, that's not where I'm going to. I'm only trying to show you how weighty the influence of spiritual leaders are upon us, the followers. You come to this church because you believe in the leadership of this church. You give your hard-earned money as tithes and offerings because you believe in the leaders of the church. Is that right? Am I saying something? That is how it is in Christendom. What if the leaders of the church you are going to are blind? What if they cannot see? An example of blind leaders. There are very many in the end time message among the followers of Elam Brown. A pastor will tell you, forget all those gifts. Forget all those people falling down. Why are they falling down? Bride assembly. They fall down. They prophesy. After the demolition, I was in a church in Ibadan where the pastor was saying, our sister church in Ijesha, the man gathered prophet till prophet was prophesying, till bulldozer came and bulldozed the church. They didn't see anything. And if you see the church, the members there are not up to 20. There is no gift, no anointing. People will gather, praise God, pray. And there are no supernatural manifestations to show that God is among us. And then a pastor is telling you, it doesn't matter. See, we are restored back to the word. It's the word. Forget all those gifts. Those are for concubines. It's the word. Such a leader is blind. Are we together? Such a leader is blind. Another example of a blind leader I see. A man of God stood up and said, water baptism has expired. No Holy Communion in the Bible anymore. Forget Ribena and bread. And he will speak big grammar. What pains me the most is not these blind people talking. It's the followers following them. See, let's be sincere. There are two things you will do to watch against the influence of a blind leader. Number one, you will pray sincerely that God should lead you to a true leader that is going to heaven. Number two, the only way you can watch it is that you to ask God to open your eyes to know the truth. If you don't, consciously or unconsciously, you are influenced by one pastor or the other. If you say you are a Christian in this generation, consciously or not, you are influenced by a spiritual leader. So your prayer should be, Father, let me not follow blind leaders. And me too, open my eyes so that when the eyes of the person I'm following starts to go blind, I will see and escape from my life. Are we together? If the blind lead the blind, they will fall into the pit. We must watch against the influence of blind leaders. And how to watch is to ask God to open your eyes and to take you to leaders who can see. If not, one day in the wilderness journey of the children of Israel, an apostle stood up, a prophet by the name of Korah, in Numbers chapter 16. You can take it down and read it at home. And he started prophesying. He said, why is it only Moses and Aaron? You people are trying to say you are the, now you only pass. Are you trying to say your church is the only church? Are you trying to say it's only you people that is going to heaven? Why is it only you, Moses and Aaron? The Lord is among the people. Moses stood up and said, you people, bring your rod. Let's bring the rod of Aaron also. The rod that bots and brings up blossom will cause us to know whom God has chosen. Now, Korah came up. More than 24,000 people blindly followed him. And when the confrontation was too much, Moses prayed. He said, if you will die a natural death, God has not called me. Before Moses finished speaking, the earth opened and swallowed them. And the Bible said, fire came from heaven and devoured all those people that followed Korah in his rebellion. What am I saying? If you follow a blind leader, there is repercussion. Many sisters have followed blind leaders, such that the beauty in Christian appearance among women has been completely wiped up in this generation. It is as a result of blind leaders who are preaching liberty, freedom, but unknowingly are bringing people into bondage. Let me not go there. We have more to say than the dressing of a woman. But why will a Christian sister be comfortable in attires that the Bible condemns? It is simply because she's following a leader that is telling her it doesn't matter, you look good. The influence of a blind leader. Let's move on. Another influence you must watch against is the influence of false teachers. There is a difference between blind leaders and false teachers. Did you hear me? These false teachers you are talking of, these ones are specially anointed by Satan. Blind. The blind leader may be sincere, but he is sincerely wrong. Sincerity alone doesn't count in salvation. Sincerity must go with truth. The blind leader may be sincere, but he's sincerely wrong. Because I know one big GO of a big denomination, a holiness denomination, who is blind. They'll tell you, don't use drum, you know. Don't use drum, don't all these instruments, all these praises. They believe in sanctimonious worship. They believe in sanctimonious worship. If you go to that church and do what some of us used to do here, they will say you don't have the Holy Ghost. But they are forgotten. They are too blind to see that David praised the Lord. The Bible said he played in the Lord. They are blind to see it. But a false teacher is one that Satan himself has anointed. A false teacher is a tear, ordained and anointed by Satan to take people to hell. And the Bible says in these perilous times, there will be many, and many people will follow them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. What does it say? It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, like Prophet Korah. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily they shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and they will bring upon themselves what? Swift destruction. See verse 2. Verse 2 says, verse 6 says, few, right? Church, are you reading with me? Few shall follow their ways. Many will follow their ways. You see why we must continue screaming the truth. He says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through feigned words shall they with covetousness make merchandise of you. That's verse 3. Brethren, Jesus said in the end times, Matthew 24:24, false prophets shall arise and do what? Deceive many. Not few, many. This is that generation of false teachers, false prophets, false preachers everywhere. And unfortunately, many will be influenced by them. And what will happen? It says they will deceive many. That means those that will be influenced by false teachers shall not go to heaven. They will not make it. And these people, they are good at influencing. Following the Sunday school this morning, I was excited when our brother started talking about serpents. For a woman to leave the word of her husband that she loves so much, and a serpent is able to convince her. You should know that that creature, there was something special about that creature. Servants of Satan are not ordinary people. When they talk, oh my, they can sweep you off your feet with their words. The Bible said the serpent was what? He was subtle, he was intelligent. So when you see a false teacher come and starts breaking Bible, and start talking to you, and start talking, and everybody is, oh. At the end of it, he's leading you out of the way of truth, influencing you wrongly. What is he doing? As the serpent beguiled Eve, so also is the false teacher beguiling you. If Eve and Adam could lose the presence of God because of a false teacher called serpent, what will happen to those influenced by false teachers? See, let's be sincere. If you still listen to every preacher with opening ears, anybody that comes and says he's a preacher, you listen to him and you're taking note and you're accepting anything he says, something is wrong with you. So as I did so, me, I will sit down and listen comfortably to a message of Joshua Selman. Me. I'm using his name because it's very popular. Me, I will sit down and listen to a message from Joshua Selman, or make him my role model and somebody that will influence me in this highway to heaven. No. The person that wants to correct Apostle Paul, now me go follow. The person that wants to correct Apostle Paul, that's the person me I will follow. But many of us don't have bearing. Anybody that says in Jesus' name, you are following. It pains me so much when I see bona fide members of this church run after these so-called gifted brothers and sisters that have fallen out of the faith. You will sit down in Bread Assembly, a member, then you go and sit down in one shop that the CEO is a prophet. Many of us do it. It shows that you are being influenced by something else. It pains me. They say what you are looking for in Sokoto is under your Sokoto. It pains me so much. I am not able to see any prophet in the church. Did you come on Thursday, anointing service, and you are not able to see that prophet? Did you pick a form and the prophet did not see you? Come and report to the pastors. Let's see. Such doesn't even happen. At least not anymore. So why would you downgrade yourself to the level of a child of a king starts living like a slave? That's by the way. We must watch against the influence of false teachers. And there are many in the land today. There are many in the land today. It's not every church you go to and sit down and you are taking what they are saying. Every sermon you hear today, hear with a filter. If not, you might end up being influenced by a false teacher. Every sermon you listen to, or you might end up being influenced by a false prophet. Everything you see, imagine me saying I want to go to a church for prayer. Then of all churches, it is that one at Warri, Mercyland. That's where I will go to. I want to worship God. Or let me travel to Delta State in the morning and I say I'm looking for church. Now tell me one big prophet that has one big TV station, that if he does like this, everybody in this row will fall down. I'll say, hey, let me go there. No, I won't allow myself be influenced by such. I won't allow myself to be influenced by a false prophet.
you don't watch against it, you will be influenced by them. Following a false prophet, a false teacher, will put you into serious trouble with God. It can overthrow your faith, or it will make you, it can even cost you your salvation. See an example of false teachers that influenced some people in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. And their word we eat as doth a canker, of whom is Apostle Emmanuel and Philetus, who concerning the truth have heard. Say what? Imagine in the first church age, somebody is saying resurrection has passed. That means rapture has come and taken place. What is the person saying? We are now in the millennium. Because if the rapture has passed, what next? So the person is telling them that we are now in the millennium and we have the same set of teachers in the world today. What does it say, verse 18? It says they overthrow the faith of some. If you are influenced by a false teacher, your faith will be overthrown. Now, how do we watch against the influence of false teachers? 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. It says, let that abide in you. Are you listening? Which ye have heard from when? If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. What does this mean? What did they hear from the beginning? The original gospel. So when he's saying, because if you read from verse 18, 1 John chapter 2 from verse 18, he said, ye have heard that Antichrist will come. Even now are there many Antichrists. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Verse 19. They went out of us, but they are not of us. If they had been of us, they would know that have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20. But ye have an unction. Hey, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We are reading. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Go on. Okay, go to verse 23. Let's take it from verse 23. Whosoever denied the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledge the Son, the Son hath the Father also. Now, he says, let that abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. The original gospel that we heard, that the apostles gave us, if you don't want to be influenced by a false teacher, let it remain in you. If that you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and the Father. Verse 25 now. He says, and this is the promise that has promised us, even eternal life. Go on. There's a part I'm going to. Verse 20. Hey, these things have I written unto you. Concerning them that what? Concerning them that do what? Serpents and Eve. False teachers. Verse 27 now. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Which anointing did they receive? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The spirit of truth. So if you are going to watch against the influence of false teachers, you must firstly go back to the faith. The original faith. You must go back to the way it was in the beginning. At the same time, you must receive that spirit of truth that teaches. Are you with me? If you are going to escape the influence of false teachers, two things. Go back to the faith from the beginning. The faith laid down in the Bible. Secondly, let the spirit of truth lead you. If not, you will be influenced in this generation by false teachers and false prophets. You shall not fall victim of such in Jesus' name. Now let's move on. The influence of another. Another influence, the third influence that we all must watch against if we want to be perfect, is the influence of false brethren. False brethren. Hey, everybody listen. Now we are coming home.
False teachers, they're not in bright assembly. Blind leaders, they're not in bright assembly, Abi. False brethren, are they in bright assembly? Did you hear me? Don't go and call to me and say, Brother Lumi, they said, false brethren are in bright assembly. Did you hear my grammar? I can defend myself legally. False brethren, are they in bright assembly? I'm asking a question. 2 Corinthians 11:26. You will answer me by yourself, but keep the answer to yourself. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, this is Apostle Paul speaking, in perils by the Eden, in perils, perils is danger in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among what? False brethren. Brethren, in the church of Jesus, there are also false brethren. Are we together? I will be an insincere and dishonest person to come here and tell you, oh, we are all saints. We are all going to heaven. I'll be very dishonest. It's a lie. It is not everybody in bright assembly that is going to heaven. You know, no ring bell for me. I say, it is not everybody in bright assembly that is going to heaven. It is not everybody in the true church of Jesus that will go to heaven. If not, why will Apostle Paul talk about false brethren? When you say something is false, that means it's false now. That can either be true or false. So I'm saying, brother, but you're a false brother. That means, in the true sense, you are not a brother, but you are masquerading to be a brother. We must watch against the influence of false brethren. Oh. The composition of the church is made up of four categories of people. We have treated that topic, the composition of the church. The church of Jesus comprises of the true children of God, predestinated, foreknown by God, who are going to heaven. This same church of Jesus comprises of the children of Satan called tares. They were planted by Satan himself to be a stumbling block to the children of God. Then this same church of Jesus comprises of the miracle seekers. He said, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the bread and were filled. And there are very many in the church. Many people come to Jesus not for salvation, but for any other thing. They are also part of the church. Church, am I communicating? Many people come to the church. Let me not say come. Many are members of the church and they are not children of God. In the church, we have children of God, children of Satan, miracle seekers, who know that Jesus can deliver, Jesus can heal, Jesus can prosper. He takes a beggar and makes him a king. Hey, Jesus can give husband, Jesus can give wife. All they are coming to Jesus for is that problem. They are in the church, they are members of the church. In fact, they are bona fide members of the church. Children of Satan are also bona fide members of the church. Children of God too are bona fide members of the church. Then the fourth category, in the same church, there are hirelings. Employees, hirelings, people that were laborers that were hired to work. It could be a servant of God that God hired to use a gift on him, or it could be somebody that just came to work in the church. Even in Jesus' name prayer, you know they do, but he's a worker in the church. He's a worker. In fact, some of them can even be deacons and pastors. Some of them can be musicians. And in this generation, I'm not referring to our musicians. In this generation, it is very common among musicians. Go to the Pentecostal field and see, you just see them. Music, Christian music is a career now. People make money from it. So you see somebody that is worshiping Amadioa, is a guitarist in the church. When you are singing, he's playing for you.
So are you telling me that person came to seek the God of Israel? No, he's an hireling. Now, all these people make up the church. It is only the true children of God that are the true brethren. Every other person who is not a true child of God in the church is a false brethren. And they influence the children of God so much. Oh. False brethren take root in the church from the leadership of the church to the last level. False brethren are very, very rooted and established in the church. So they can easily influence you. As I'm sitting down now talking to the bride of Christ, both present here and online, even the person by your side might be a false brethren. And you have church mind. We are one. Yes, we are one because we belong to an organization called Bride Assembly. But if we are not going the same way, we are not one. Brethren, I'm bringing it home. These false brethren, their manner of life is different from that of the true children of God. While they might be in the same group, in the same department, sitting down in the same auditorium, their manner of life are different. But you, child of God, my message this afternoon is to the children of God. If you don't watch against the wrong influence of false brethren, they might cause you to misbehave. That's exactly why Satan planted the test. They might cause you to misbehave. I told us the story of I'm not sure I'm the one that said that one, but there's a story I heard of some ministers that used to be here many years ago. A gifted brother who was trying his best to live a holy life, but when he saw some other gifted brethren, when they went to one place in the east, maybe for ministration, and then slave queens were brought in to entertain men of God. I speak in parables. Slay queens, slay mamas. We are brought in to entertain men of God. At first, he was shocked. But they told him, no. See, this doesn't affect the gifts. In fact, inspiration. And that was how this man of God started eating apple and wiping his mouth and said he didn't do anything wicked. Praise God. Influence of false brethren. It is not everybody that you should make your friend, even in the church. It is not discrimination, it is revelation. Many people are good in the position of acquaintances. I know you, I will greet you, I will wish you well, I will pray for you. In fact, if you invite me to your house, when you are doing anything, I will even come. I will show you love. But I won't make you my friend. Because birds of same feather flock together. Show me your friend and I'll tell you who you are. I will not bring you into close fellowship and intimacy if you are not going my way. If not, I will be influenced by you. They are in the same church with you. In the same prayer group with you. In the same department. Jam them outside and see the kind of life they live. And you say, we are brethren. We are not brethren. You, your own heart for your own church mind is to go to heaven. The same person that is dancing with you, coming to altar to give offering, oh yes, in the presence of the Lord, is not living the same kind of life where you are trying to ensure that your garment is pure white, that you might be raptured when the Lord comes for you. Somebody else will be saying, this your own is too much. This your own is too much. See them when they are doing their celebrations. You, since you crossed Egypt, in fact, when you are doing your own ceremony, it is opportunity for you to preach the gospel in their own time. Go and see their parties, wedding parties and naming ceremonies. When you get there, you first ask, are they members of Bride Assembly? Members of Bride Assembly, heavenly bound people. On their tables in their ceremonies, alcohol. Sisters in Bride Assembly, jam them outside. They will slay you. Slay you. Then on Sunday, they are in church with you. Brother, brother. Yes, brother, brother. My sheep, no, my... You know who you should follow. Even if they are gifted and God uses them to bless you, don't bring a false brethren, some false brethren, into intimacy with you. Don't make them your friends. Watch against their influence. You are trying to fast and pray and build a spiritual life. Somebody be telling you your own is too much. See what they do on their social media. You cannot lie to make money. But they will dance to worldly music because they want to make money. I don't know which one I go sing now. I think it's the one I used to hear is low, 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 low. They will dance to it. You'll be surprised. Is that brother? But you are watching yourself. Everybody has turned against you and they are calling you names because you are carrying the old rugged cross to go to heaven. But some other people, it doesn't matter to them. So, while we come to the same church, the acts are different. The focus are different. The visions are different. In Proverbs 13 verse 20, he says, he that walketh with wise men will be what? But a companion of fools shall be what? In the book of Proverbs, when the Bible talks about fools, he's not talking about somebody that doesn't have sense. He's talking about sinners. Don't bring them close. That is how to watch against false brethren. Brother Loom, there you are preaching hate. He's a lie. I'm not preaching hate. I know how to get along with everybody, but I know who is my friend and who is not my friend. Greet them, play with them, show them Christian love. It is necessary. Am I the one saying it? Let's see what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, so that you will know that I'm not preaching hate, I'm preaching truth. Do you hear me? I'm not preaching hate, I'm preaching truth. There are false brethren in the church, and we must watch against their influences. 1 Corinthians 5. From verse, let's start from verse, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 5. Let's take it from verse 5. What does it say? Okay, verse 6. Sorry, let's take it from verse 6. Please pay close attention. It says, your glory is not good. Listen, oh, you would think it's hatred and preaching. Know ye not that a little leaven doeth what? Leaveneth the whole lump. So bring somebody. Make a fornicator, make him your best friend. Very soon, there'll be transfer of spirits. We are still reading. Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are leavened. For Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. We are reading to the last verse. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 9. See now, please pay close attention. I wrote unto you in a letter that you should not keep company with fornicators. Yes, I wrote that letter to you. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, because your brother might be an unbeliever, your sister might be an unbeliever, and you are related by blood, even your business partners, or extortioners, or with idolaters, your landlord, your neighbors, they are not Christians like you. If you say you will not keep company with them, you will go out of this world. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you, don't keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, it is better to be friends with a fornicator in the world than a fornicator in the church. He says, if you say he's a brother, he's brethren. If he's a fornicator, if he's covetous, if he's an idolater, if he's a railer, if he's a drunkard, if he's an extortioner, 419. He said, such a one, don't even eat communion. Verse 12. What have I to do to them to judge those people, sinners that are outside? Do not you judge those that are within. Next verse. Them that are outside, sinners, God judgeth. But you, child of God, put away from among yourself who? That wicked person. In this generation, they'll be in the church. They might even be leaders in a department. How do you put them away? It's not by saying, I'll not talk to them. I'll not know. It is watch against their influence. Don't bring them into close intimacy with you. Because a man is truly influenced by his close friends. If you are truly friends with somebody, friends, not just acquaintances, you rub off one another. He says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. There are things your friend will learn from you. There are things you too are learning from the friend. Before you know it, you people have the same character. You talk alike. You play together. There are some people that, in fact, how somebody will behave, that's how they will behave. Intimacy has brought that. So if you don't want to be influenced by a false brethren, it simply means avoid them. Don't bring them into intimacy, whether they are in your church or not. They are brethren, but they are false. Because they are not behaving like members of the family. So, zone them. Let me borrow that language. Zone them. Know how you relate with them. Don't judge them. Don't hate them. If you have opportunity to see their sin and rebuke them, fine. But some of them don't see. In fact, we know what we see. Social media has made everything in this world a news. We know what we see. When we jam some of our brethren on social media, we keep wondering what is going on. We keep wondering. So when we see such a person that is living, despite what you are hearing every day from this altar, it simply means you know what we preach, but it doesn't have a place in you. But yet you must come to that church. We know who you are. So we will relate with you in wisdom. We will not bring you into intimacy. We will greet you and respect you. We can even hug you when we see you. We will even call you brother. But for our mind, we will not say you know be brother. You be false brother. You be false sister. Watch against the influence of false brethren. Let me be fast because of our time. Another influence. And how you can watch against it also. Take your stand openly. Be obstinate. Don't be pliable. Don't be pliable. Be obstinate. Let them know this is who you are. When they know you that you stand against rubbish, they will not be bringing rubbish to you. But when some of us, we don't have any bearing, you have too much love that your love has removed holiness from your life. You don't have a bearing. No, love. Then you are opening your door to everything. Before the throne of God, it is not love. It is what? Holy. Take your stand openly. Don't bring them into any form of intimacy. Avoid them. I didn't say you should go about judging them and condemning them or gossiping them. Avoid them. Don't bring them into any intimacy. And if you must walk with them, because we belong to a public place, walk with them with wisdom. We belong to a prayer group then. Brother Undubisi. We belong to a prayer group. Brother here at the back. Is that right? Wave your hand. Some of us knew that the people in the prayer group, they were not brothers. Time has proved us correctly. And many of them are here today. When the prayer group scattered, we started hearing classified information of the kind of adultery, fornication, embezzlement of church money that was going on by bona fide members of the group. We were not surprised when it happened. They were not brothers. So don't think everybody in the church is a true child of God, so that you will not be wrongly influenced. You receive Holy Ghost. He told you, remove attachments. Remove this. You remove that. Beautiful. They are saying they have, in fact, you will see them under anointing. Even before your own anointing starts, they are under anointing. But see them. Painted legs. Check their head. Not for any good motive. They have Egyptian attires on them. That is the way I serve my God. No. God doesn't have double standard. Don't be influenced by them. They are of another fold. You follow God as they show you truth. No matter how they explain it, don't be influenced by them. That's how they are serving their God. Don't say because everybody in Brother Assembly has started wearing Wivon when you see them outside, then it doesn't matter. Now let me do it. You are already getting influenced by them. How do you know they are not false brethren? How? So you follow your God. Everybody is doing it. Doesn't mean I should do it. We must watch against influence number four. Compromising Christians. Now, what is the difference between false brethren and compromising Christians? These compromising Christians are true children of God. But they are compromising because they are falling victim of a wrong influence. Are you getting me? They are also in the church. They are true children of God. But they are compromising because they've been influenced wrongly by another. They are the type that will tell you the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, the difference between false brethren and compromising Christians is that when you rebuke compromising Christians, they repent. That's evidence there's life in them. But false brethren, no matter what you say or do, they are who they are. Nothing will change them, not what you preach. Yet they will show you that they are still alive. Shame will not make them stop coming to the church. They will let you know that I belong to your church, but your word, your gospel, has no way, will not bear fruit in my life. Compromising Christian. Recently, I saw a sister's picture and I was hurt because I know her closely. I've not spoken to her, but I sent the picture to somebody that is closer to her. And I said, speak to her. Picture was posted. This is a true child of God. But because she started working, she got a big job in an organization and, you know, in a top place. When I saw the picture, she was on heavy makeup. And she was on long attachments. I saw it and I wept because she's somebody I know. I said, they are already influencing her wrongly. You waited for the job for years. God did it and gave you an open door. Then because you are among worldly people who don't know the God you serve, then you want to bend in and fit in. That is the condition of many Christians. You are being influenced by another. It's wrong. The Muslim religion will stand in judgment against many so-called Christians, especially in this part of the world. Because that bona fide Muslim, even if she's a secret sinner, her attires portray her faith. No matter what level of life she rises to, whether she's a professor or an MD, if she's a bona fide Muslim, you still see it in her dressing. But it is people that call themselves Christians. Little promotion. Once little promotion, you will start drifting with the world. Those are compromising Christians. And they are in the church. Now, how do you avoid influence from them? Because this particular person I'm talking of, she might be listening to me now, and I hope she is. Even among young people, she's a role model. So the implication of that picture is that if those that look up to us see her, oh, you are a woman leader, they look up to you, they see you, But your attire is contrary to the gospel we preach. Those that look up to them, when they see them, they will feel, it doesn't matter. I can do like this person did. You are picking a wrong influence from another person. We must watch against it. No matter who it is, when they are not standing or portraying the truth to stand for, if you are sure they are children of God, how you can watch against their influence is rebuke them sharply. Apostle Paul said, if there is an heretic after the first and second admonition, what should you do? Leave alone. So you have the right to rebuke every man twice. If they have life in them, they will react to that rebuke and repent. Because a child of God, the Bible says, he that is born of God does not commit sin. You cannot find pleasure in iniquity. So when sin is coming on you and you are rebuked by another child of God, you wake up from slumber. That is why Leviticus chapter 19 verse 17, it says you should not suffer sin upon your neighbor. Rebuke him. But alas, they will see your rebuke. If you rebuke them, some of them, they will hate you and start judging you and stop relating with you. If anybody does that after you rebuke them in love in the name of God, that person is not a child of God. It's false. David in Psalm 145, he said, let the righteous rebuke me and I will be happy. It will be like an oil upon me. In this generation, rebuke somebody. Just tell them, sister, your dress is a little bit tight. Don't you think you'll be stumbling some people by this? I beg, only, your own is too much. Now let this one that they see. We face it regularly in the church. Some of them will almost slap us. Sometimes, we too will tell you, say, God never perfect us finish. Sometimes we too will tell you that we are still in this world. We'll call security and bundle you out of the church. By rebuking you, you are fighting us. Authority is given to us for no reason. We'll bundle you out of the church. But some of them will not rebuke you openly. They will go behind you and start gossiping. And they see you coming. They won't even answer your greeting anymore. When you rebuke a true child of God, if he's a child of God indeed and is compromising, they repent. Watch against the influence of compromising brethren. How you watch it is don't allow them. Rebuke them. Amen. Lastly, influence from the world. Influence from the world. How does the world influence us? Through worldly people around us, through the media, through our environment. And one area where Satan is killing us today by influencing us negatively is through the media. Print media, electronic media, social media has killed the spiritual fire of many Christians. Brothers and sisters, what do we watch? What do we hear? What do we watch? What do we hear? Many of us have started manifesting attitude and characters that are strange and alien to Christianity, simply because you watched it on TV or saw it on social media. Many Christians now cannot live a quiet life anymore. We've been influenced by the spirit of social media. The spirit of, even when I'm in the toilet, I'll take selfie and post it to all. Are they shit cool shit? Everything you are doing, a lot of people were disappointed when during my honeymoon they didn't see one single picture. The favor I received from my honeymoon, the brother is a member of this church, Oriental Hotels on Lagos Island. One of the best suites there was where I was with my sweetheart for 1 week. If you see the environment and the things I did, now, why I'm bringing it out is, I don't know, I think I posted some things that day, but not picture, you know, normal godly this thing. So I saw the kind of traffic that checked my status update. I was just saying, they wait. So I did, yeah, map, snap, everybody see. What is the virtue in that? If I'm keeping it for record purpose as a picture, fine. What has come among many of us Christians today? Anything you are doing, later you say monitoring spirit. When you cannot walk in wisdom, you eat fried rice and chicken, the whole world must know. Ah, it don't land. The whole world must know. You enter aeroplane, it don't japa. The whole world must know. So God cannot do anything for you. When Samuel anointed Saul, when he told him about the kingship, the Bible said Saul's uncle came, asked Saul, "Where have you been? We've been looking for you." Saul told him everything, but the matter of the kingship, he hid it from him. See wisdom. But Christians of this generation, everything will show. Then we pick up all manner of influences from what we watch. Influence on how we dress. Whenever you see a Christian sister that wears anything to shoot a bomb, show me now, mixer. I'm demonstrating. She picked it from somewhere. And that's one of the popular things we see in the church today. They must make sure that bomb shoots out. The cloth is long, but let that bomb, let it shoot out. Definitely, you are picking it from Kings Daniel, Davido, Wizkid, Pro Max, African Magic, and what else? But not from the Word of God. Christian sisters don't know the power of decency anymore. So any physical beauty you have is a museum for all to see. And the thing that used to pay me is they will spiritualize it. Small girl with big God. That's not the message she's passing, no. The message she's passing is, see my fine bonbon. That's the message she's passing. See my fine shape. Where did you pick it from? From the world. From the world. What about in our worship? Thank God in this church, worship is very inspired by God. When you see churches today, host beauty pageants, sports competition, music competition, suya nights, stand-up comedy in the church, the influence is from somewhere. It's from the world. The world has successfully influenced the church today that you can hardly see a church that is not worldly. Our youths are all patterning after the world. Praise the living God. We must watch against worldly influences. Avoid worldly entertainment. It's a painful truth. Avoid worldly entertainment. It is a drainer of spiritual energy. You sit down before the African Magic and you watch for hours. What are you learning from it? What are you learning when you are watching those action films or Chinese films? Or those rubbish Z word? Telemundo. No. How can somebody in this church watch Big Brother? Now that person needs to go for water baptism, and then the person needs to visit deliverance ministers for deliverance. If you are a member of this church and you watch Big Brother, your case is serious. Just let us know. So that when you come to the church again, we will not give you a seat inside. We will give you outside the gate. Watch against worldly influences. Don't dress inspired by Beyoncé. I don't know the names of the stars of this generation because we left Egypt several years ago. So I don't know which one to use as an example. Don't dress inspired by the world. That area, many Christian sisters are falling victim. There is how a Christian sister should dress. If you really want to serve God, check into the Bible and see how a Christian sister should dress. Let us watch against worldly influences. worldly influence of our culture and tradition. Pastor has been saying it. In this generation, as a Christian, you still believe in Osu. It was, well, I'm not from the eastern part. It was in this church I got to know. So I asked questions because I'm always hearing our pastor talk about it. Then one day in the vehicle, we're having an argument with some brother. And I still got to know that all this noise that daddy is making on the altar about this thing, there are still members of this church that still believe and hold on to that tradition. Influence from the world. Influence from the world. If you are still tribalistic, in my side, they know they marry Yoruba man. All these Yoruba people are wicked. All these Igbo people, don't mind them. That's influence from the world, your culture and tradition. It is ungodly. Watch against it. Influence from education and civilization. Your education is as good as long as it doesn't remove your God from it. Did you hear me? Your education, your whatever civilization, is as good as God is still in it. But when he removes God, it becomes a piece of shit. Throw it away. Influence from the social media. Declare your faith publicly. In your working place, in your market, let them know who you are. So that no worldly influence will come your way. Watch against worldly trends. Don't follow it. It is not every language they use on social media that you should use. It is not everything happening on social media that you should be a part of. We are in this world, but not of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Very soon, we are going home. So don't be bolted to this world. Have a mindset of a traveler. Soon, I'm going home. Stay away from worldly entertainment. In closing, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. I'm talking about the influence of another. Why would welcome all godly and good influences? If we will be perfected, we must watch against bad influences. Be not... Everybody, can we read it together? Don't worry, this is my final statement, my closing scripture. Can we read it together? I want to go. Be not deceived. Why? Because you can be deceived. No. Wait. First statement said what? Be not. For what? Evil communications. Don't say you are too wise. I know who I be. I know who I am. He says, be not deceived. If you are working with a man that's always saying, abroad, abroad, very soon, you two start saying what? Abroad, abroad. We human beings, we transfer spirit. We transfer spirit. When you come to bread assembly, there's a spirit in bread assembly. It's a spirit of joy. You see some people, we get our signature dance style, especially the brothers. There is a spirit of joy, there's a spirit of praise. So wherever you are, people that you associate with, everybody carries a spirit. And we transfer spirit. So those you associate closely with, you will definitely receive of their spirit. So watch against bad influences. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Let us bow our heads and begin to pray. Let us ask the Lord to help us not to be influenced wrongly by another.
Lord Jesus, see me through. See me through.
Let's ask the Lord to help us.
See me through. Lord Jesus, see me through. There is a rise. There is a rise.
Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him.
There is a victory to
an admonishment from a father, an admonishment from one who cares, who cares. One must be caring before this could be poured out. It's out of a love of care and concern for our eternal destination. Tell the Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, against influencers. Help me, Jesus. Yes, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this season's admonishment this afternoon, Lord. Papa, your people, we've heard your word, and we say in return, Jehovah, let your word who have entered into us begin to work for our perfection in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your servant. Every virtue that have gone out of him this afternoon, we ask of you, replenish him, Jehovah. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord.